everybody. Welcome to Sell or Die. This is Monday, therefore Motivation Monday. And I'm here with...
Jen Gluckow.
Who the heck are you, Jen?
Founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we are connected at the hip as partners and as people. But I think it's more important for us to connect with you.
That's right.
And it's...
at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand that we have a couple of five-star reviews, but let's just read one.
All right, let's read one.
Okay, cool.
All right, today's comes from Erin.
Good old Erin.
And Erin writes, by the way... Is Erin's a girl's name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she writes, Jeffrey and Jen are the dynamic duo of sales advice.
No, Jeffrey and Jen are the dynamic duo of sales advice.
I'm sure that's how she said
it. This is Motivation Monday.
All right. All right. Highly recommend this podcast for practical, everyday sales tips and motivation. Cool.
Yeah. Now, if you guys are listening, if you diehards are listening, all you got to do is give us a five-star review. And we might read it on Sell or Die. And once you give all...
Like, and we'd be really grateful. Erin, yeah. Thank you very much for that review.
It's totally,
very kind and awesome. Definitely motivates us.
Yeah. We're totally motivated anyway because we're out of the country.
So guys, some of you are asking, like, what happened to the Facebook Live today? It's Monday, and I know you count on us to go live on Facebook. But we didn't want to take a chance of the internet not being good enough or anything like that. So we are coming live to you on this podcast. We're recording it literally on Monday.
Yeah. So. From another country.
Yeah.
It's hell over here.
Yeah.
It was like 60 degrees this morning. We had to burn part of the house down in order to be able to get warm. But here's the deal. Our topic today is going to be you. And I'm going to ask you what kind of a person you are, because I have determined in life there are three kinds of people.
What are those three kinds?
People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who don't know what's happening. Now, I'm not going to give you specific examples of people who watch things happen, but let's just say it's people that watch television rather than do things that they could do for themselves. And people that don't know what's happening, I think you know who they are. But we're going to focus today on people who make things happen. Jen and I are going to use ourselves as some example. But I'm throwing it back to you. What are you doing to make things happen versus watch things happen? So, for example, your sales leader gets up, your sales manager gets up, and he or she gives a Monday meeting. She or he is making something happen. You are listening, thereby watching something happening, or maybe not even paying attention because it's not that good. So if you're going to make something happen, you have a responsibility to be dynamic enough to be followed or to be believed or to have some action taken as a result of it.
How did you come up with this concept?
I don't know.
Oh.
Literally, okay. I don't know. It dawned on me one day, and I wrote it.
I agree with it. I'm just curious. It's a great concept.
It was probably 5 o'clock in the morning. I seem to have written some of the most powerful things when I'm unconscious, or maybe I'm in my subconscious. One of my most powerful ones is people will rain on your parade because they have no parade of their own. Yeah. And that was literally, I was in a sleep stupor when I wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah. Long time ago, too.
So normally I'm a make things happen kind of gal.
Yeah. Kind of gal. Right.
You know,
I got that.
I just wrote a book. That's a
some
make
chicks
things.
Don't like being called gals, you know.
Well, I called it to myself. So
I got
that's
it. Okay. Okay, cool.
But, you know, I'm thinking about a time actually where I watched things happen.
Of course.
And how I could have done better.
Exactly.
And so I'll give this example, even though it's recent and I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
But diehards, you're my friends, so no judgment, okay? So I'm in this Facebook group with this girl who teaches people how to create online memberships.
Right.
And up until basically this week, I've been watching things happen. I've been watching everyone. There's 12 or 15 people in the program. Go through the program, get the assignments, do the assignments, come up with their webinars, launch their courses, launch their memberships, bring in money. And I'm like, wow, that's great. You know, cheering people on. but I've been a watcher. And I even apologized to the group for my lack of participation because I've just been, well, I made the excuse in my mind that I've been too busy to make things happen. But I decided this week that that's it. I joined this group for a reason. I'm launching an online membership site for a reason, to impact other people. And I've got to make it happen.
Right.
And so
I agree with that.
And so, you know, I think one of the first steps in making things happen, if you're starting out from the watching side, is admitting that you're watching.
Okay, but there's three kinds of watching.
Uh-huh.
There's watching to learn.
Uh-huh.
Watching to understand.
Okay.
Watching to be entertained. Oh. You were watching to learn.
Yes, I was.
And
yes.
You were watching to try to understand. So you had the big two of watching.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem. But it's watching to be entertained that is basically a waste of time.
Well, it wasn't very entertaining.
No, probably boring. But it's not bad to watch. It's not doing anything.
Well, that was my problem, right? I was watching but not doing.
No, you were feeling guilty.
Of course. All these other people are launching their stuff. And I'm like, I need mine to be perfect. I can't launch it yet. I can't do it. Like, I'm not there yet. And so I've decided to give up perfection and to go for it. And it's going to be really, really
Jen,
freaking good.
You are perfect. Okay, so let me give you an example.
I'm not perfect.
Let me give you an example, diehards. In 1973, if you can remember back that far, I was in the imprinted... Oh, it wasn't 73. It was 74. I was in the imprinted sportswear business, and we decided to fly to New York City to make sales because the epicenter of the world. I was living in Florida, and I had a t-shirt factory, or imprinted sportswear factory, and my partner, the great Duke Dalton, and I flew to New York. It was Duke's first time in New York City, literally. So we get to this room in the Hotel New York, in the New Yorker, I think, or the Americana. And the first thing happens is Duke picks up the phone. I go, "Who the hell are you calling?" He goes, "Room service."
Oh, my goodness.
And so he orders up shrimp cocktails and all kinds of stuff because it's in a hotel. Anyway, so the food comes, and he picks up the phone, and he hands it to me. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You're Mr. Sales Shit. Call somebody."
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. So I remembered that my Aunt Selena's brother worked for Revlon, and so I called Aunt Selena. I said, "Hey, what's your brother's phone number? I need to call him because I want to make a sales call on Revlon." And she goes, "Okay." She gives me his number. I call him up on the phone. I said, "Hey, I'm here in New York City, and I want to call Revlon because we have an idea to make the shirt for Charlie, and I need to have somebody to call." "Okay, fine." He calls me back and gives me the CEO's phone number, Charles Revson. Because he had worked there for like 25 years. He knew everybody. Okay. So I cold called Charles Revson. I said, "Can I come by?" I said, "I have an idea. You know, I was introduced by so-and-so, so-and-so. Can I come by and just talk to you for 5 minutes? He goes, "Sure." So now I'm at the 49th floor of the General Motors building. And I walk into this place because you could walk in those days. You could just walk in. And it was like an antique show. Everything in that office was absolutely gorgeous. And this guy comes over and we introduce ourselves. And I said, "Look, I have this idea for a t-shirt that says the word Charlie on it, which is your thing. And we give it away with a purchase, like you give away those little things, you know, the little bags or whatever they gave away."
The makeup bags.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, "I like it." And so he takes me down to this other guy and says, "I was just speaking to this young man. I want you to give him a real good listen." Now, when the CEO takes you downstairs to some other guy and says, "I want you to listen to him," what do you think the guy does?
He listens.
Dude, he listens.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay. So Revson leaves, and I'm with this guy, and he says, "Why should I buy your shirt?" And he shows me a pile of like 50 shirts behind him. Ooh. So I was prepared. And I took out a piece of cloth. And I said, "This represents your shirt. You can have it in any style, any size, any color. You can have it stitched any way. If you want an 18-inch wide medium, you can have 18. If you want 19, you can have 19. If you want single stitch, you can have single stitch. And he goes, oh. I said, everybody else, you have to buy their shirt. I'm going to sell you your shirt. And in under 30 minutes, I had an order for $100,000.
I love it.
Now, A, I was prepared, but B, I was making something happen, and I did it in the right way. I did it in the right order. I started at the top, and I worked my way down rather than starting my way at the bottom and working my way up, which is a pain in the ass. Because if I had tried to see that buyer before I...
Oh, yeah. He would not have listened to you.
Ever.
No.
Ever, ever. And so sales diehards... Because some of you are diehards and some of you are sales diehards. Sales diehards, take a listen. Number one, somebody knows somebody. If you want to get to the senior level of someplace, you can go on LinkedIn to find out who it is, but then you got to find out somebody who knows them. So you need to send an email out to all of your inner circle and say, hey, does anybody know this person? Now you're making something happen. I promise you someone will get back to you. If you have any kind of inner circle whatsoever.
But like only ask that to people you actually know, please.
Right, yeah.
Don't ask strangers exactly. That. That's annoying.
I get LinkedIn requests to connect with somebody.
Can you connect me with, I don't even know you.
Right, exactly. I don't know anybody. So I did it from the top down. I did it with help from other people. I made the call. I made the sale.
I love that. And that reminds me of that time I was selling education software to charter schools in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the potential was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I would have to go after each school one by one because they all made their own decisions.
Yo.
And so I was up for the challenge. And I started taking the train back and forth to DC about 2 to 3 times a month,
mm-hmm.
selling to one principal at a time. Sometimes I would get 2 or 3 principals in a week. And the first thing I would ask them after they bought was, hey, I'm going to this school, these few schools next. Do you know anyone there? Could mm-hmm. you connect me? Because once they bought, we had built great rapport.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would just ask if they would introduce me. And they would. It was amazing.
The one thing that diehards don't understand, especially sales diehards, is everyone in your industry, regardless of what industry you're in, radio, advertising, sales, or medical products, they all used to work someplace else.
Yeah.
And they all know somebody else in some other places. And some of those people have risen to the top. If you've been doing something for 10 years, somebody's a CEO that used to be a bum.
Yeah.
Or they used to be a repair guy or a low-level warehouse. And they rise to the position based on their capability. And just unbelievable, the connections that you can make if you stick at it and if you simply ask. You're not asking for a referral. You're asking for an introduction. That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, who do you know? No. I'm going here. Do you know someone
who
can?
Right.
Yeah.
And I would say the principal's exact name. Like I knew exactly who I needed to meet and I would ask to meet them. And most of the time, principals down the street knew each other. It was phenomenal. So we have something that I want to bring up from the official Sell or Die Facebook page.
Oh.
First of all, I love the engagement that's happening in that page. It's really amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
So Sean writes, my sales team works to resell products to customers that help to improve their health and well-being. Our internal debate is to either, one, sell as much as possible at once to that person and not get another selling chance for at least a year or more. For example, a yearly quantity would be $1,000, but getting $120 in commission. Or two, sell smaller quantities to that customer more often, have more connections, and the total in sales would be more over that same 1 year time frame. So smaller commission, $72, but a chance to come back later in the year. And then he gave 4 options for people to vote on, okay? Do what's best for the customer and turn them into lifelong clients plus a great source of referrals. Other, and then describe it below. Smaller commissions more often or big one and see you next year. So we wanted to chime in.
It's an easy question to answer. You just do the best you can for the customer and turn them into a lifelong customer, because if you have a lifelong customer, odds are they're going to be a loyal and outspoken customer, and they will lead you to other customers. You may make a smaller amount for each customer, but the aggregate will bring you a much larger amount, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And one of our diehards, Kenneth, commented that he advocates for recurring payments. And I do too. If there's a way to set them up on some auto pay, and that would be good for the customer so that they don't ever run out of the product, because if it's a health and well-being product, I can see that they might not want to run out. You know, that would be a great option too, because it makes it easy on you and easy on the customer.
So diehards, here's the challenge for Motivation Monday in kicking your own ass by kicking your own pen. Sit down and write down, who is your ideal customer? Who do you want to sell more than anybody else on the planet? Maybe list three. Then find the person who you believe will pull the trigger in each one of those three places. Then go to your people, your inner circle, and find out if anybody knows anybody anywhere that might give you an introduction. You don't need a referral, just an introduction. And I can promise you that not only will you be motivated to make more money in this week, you'll be motivated every week to try to go find somebody that you know that knows somebody that you need, that you want to make a sale to, because you're interested in making it happen.
Awesome.
Make things happen. That should be your mantra for the week. Make things happen. And once you see that it works, make things happen will become a way of life. Way, way more important than Motivation Monday. It's motivation every day of the week.
Yeah, I would say make it happen now.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait, guys. Go do this right now. All right, this week we have great episodes coming up.
We do?
Yeah, we do. I'm so excited. So we have the Preview Truthful Living Wednesdays, which is really cool. It's an interview we did together, and we're going to air it, you know, a little bit at a time.
Uh-huh.
And then we also, oh, by the way, guys, if you want the free chapter of Truthful Living, because I know you can't wait until your book comes.
Yep.
Then all you need to do is go to hillsfirstwritings.com.
And it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, the link's in the show notes. And then we also have Andy Frisella on Tuesday.
Dude, you want to hear a guy drop an F-bomb a few times. He is your guy. But also, if you want to hear how a person has overcome adversity to become successful and stay successful, he is really your guy. He's unbelievable.
He is. And we also have Brandon Steiner coming up on Thursday. It is a double hitter.
Brandon Steiner is not only the ultimate Yankees fan and ultimate New York Football Giants fan and ultimate Rangers fan and Islanders fan. Brandon Steiner is the largest memorabilia and autograph dealer in the world. He has relationships with every single athletic human being, and they love him. I mean, literally, he is the person in whom I know who has made things happen.
Yeah. He's pretty
think
cool.
About, you know, you want to call any athlete in the world, Brandon can give you the guy's cell phone number. I mean, literally.
So we have great episodes coming up. I want to throw a shout out to Visal, who purchased Truthful Living and popped that receipt in the Seller Diehard group.
Cool.
So that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
You'll get that first chapter at hillsfirstwritings.com. And, well, that's it for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you very kindly for being a diehard. Thank you very kindly for being our customer. Have you bought anything? If you bought anything from us, if you haven't, what the hell are you thinking? Motivate your own self and get something that will inspire you to get to the next plateau. So, Tuesday, Andy Frisella. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, don't miss
that
episode.
Yeah, it's going to be, tomorrow's episode is amazing.
Yeah. So, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something motivationally, even if your ass falls off.